Hey friends, welcome back to A Homemaker's Manifesto, the podcast. Welcome, my name is Issa. I wanted to explain, since most of you listening are probably also, already subscribers and followers, and you know what we're all about here, but I did just recently change up. Last week, I changed up the format of how I'm publishing my newsletters. I wanted to do just like a weekly newsletter and podcast. So it is just a podcast and newsletter version of the exact same content. This week, I'm actually recording the podcast first, and then I'm going to write the newsletter. So there might be some difference between the two, but we are totally going to be talking about the same thing. So how it's going to go down, I'm just going to chat a little bit about, you know, a topic that is on my mind, on my heart, what I want to share with you all. Then we will be diving into my Dear Help Me advice column. I've created a form on Google Forms so that you can submit, if you are a premium subscriber, you can submit anonymous questions to me about all things relating to, you know, biblical womanhood, marriage, homemaking, mothering, friendship, faith, whatever it is. You can submit your anonymous questions and I will answer them in the newsletter and, of course, on the podcast as well. And again, they are completely anonymous. I don't know who sends them. I don't see who sends them. So if you do want to submit a question and you think you might have a follow-up, like maybe I answer your question and you have more questions, that's completely fine. You can use like a pseudonym just so I can keep track of, you know, you've written in before and I'm answering your question. And then we'll have a little bit of book club chat. I do have a book club for our premium subscribers every other week. Right now we are discussing Live Not By Lies, the book Live Not By Lies, as well as the book of Ephesians from the Bible. It's been a really, really cool study and discussion. If you are a premium subscriber, go ahead and I worry I might have confused everybody because I published both on the same day last week. The discussion thread for our book club is up on the website. It's pinned on the main page, A Homemaker's Manifesto on Substack. So go ahead and I put it up for 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks to, join in and share your thoughts. But yeah, that is where that is. Sorry if I confused you last week because we do a little book club chat in the newsletter. But the actual, you know, study and discussion that we do together is going to be for premium subscribers. So what do I mean by premium subscriber? If you've not heard me talk about this before, Substack was created as a free speech platform for independent creators. I've been a freelance writer for years. Unfortunately, that means you are relying on ultimately the big tech infrastructure, and the big tech infrastructure is very censorial. So I've literally lost my income before because Facebook decided to censor more content or suppress a certain page because it was purveying views that were based on biblical truth and not, you know, modern political correctness. It can be really scary if you are a creator, commentator, writer, to be relying on, you know, Google and Facebook-owned platforms, of course, Twitter previously, although Twitter still kind of censors a little bit. Now it's X or whatever, but I'm just not big on Twitter, so I have not been affected by that. However, Substack makes it so that writers like myself can be supported directly by our readers instead of having to go through a big tech middleman to try to, you know, just make ends meet and help support our families. So, you know, as a homemaker, a huge part of how I contribute to our household in the, you know, good old-fashioned Proverbs 31 form is through my trade, which is writing. It is also my passion. A lot of people call it a ministry. I feel funny calling it a ministry just because I am just like you. I'm just sharing, I guess every minister is just another servant of Christ, another imperfect human being who is, you know, saved by grace through faith. However, it is absolutely my heart and passion here to be encouraging women, homemakers, wives, sisters, mothers, daughters to embrace their design. The reason that homemaking is so valuable has so much more to do. It's not just, you know, trad culture Stepford wife. It has deep spiritual significance. It is not, again, it's not simply housekeeping. A woman makes a house a home. Women, you know, when God created Eve for Adam, he took part of Adam and made Eve, and she was the sort of crowning touch on his creation is 1 Corinthians 11 explains. So that is really, you know, kind of the heart of what I'm doing here. I'm able to do it through your support. It is just $5 a month to upgrade to premium. So I would love to have you as a premium subscriber. And then you get access to the book club. You can submit questions to my Dear Help Me advice column, which we're going to be diving into in a little bit. And but the weekly podcast and newsletter is for everybody. I will probably have more content and stuff that is exclusive from time to time for the premium subscribers. But I wanted to offer something for my wonderful free subscribers. I know times are tight and not everybody can afford another subscription. So don't worry, if you're a free subscriber, there's still going to be plenty of stuff for you. So today what I wanted to talk about, I'm recording this before I write the newsletter, which is the opposite of what I did last week. My husband got rained out today and he went out to run an errand. We have a really small house, so there's like nowhere quiet to record. So I figured I would, hop on here real quick while the house is a little bit quieter. And my kids are working on their schoolwork. So I'd record. And what I wanted to talk about is the women at the well. So I was reading in my study this morning. I just started a Bible study on femininity, which I will recommend, and I will point you to it in the show notes. It's written by an Instagram friend of mine, Brittany. Her handle is A Catholic Convert. I am not a Catholic. I know a lot of you are. I love, ecumenical unity within the body of Christ. I think our theological convictions are really important. I'm not here to persuade anybody to become a Catholic. I am not a Catholic, so I would not do that. Or to leave the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church or your mainline Protestant Church or whatever it is. I think our denominations exist for a reason. However, we are all of one mind in Christ as far as the finished work, who he was, what he did, the finished work of the cross, and the fact he's coming back to raise us from the dead and judge the world. So, that said, I really relate a lot to many of the ways that the Catholic Church and Catholics view femininity and women's design. I think it is so rich and beautiful. I've learned so much from Catholics, and I'm loving this study that Brittany made. You can get it on Etsy. Again, I will put the link for that if you want to do it. Highly recommend. I'm loving it so far. And I'm only in day two, full disclosure. But today we're reading the passage about when Abraham's servant is sent to find a wife for Isaac. It has to be from his kinsman. You know, he doesn't want her marrying a Canaanite. He doesn't want him marrying a Canaanite woman. So the servant goes to back to Abraham's, home area, home region, home village. And he prays and he says, may it be that the first woman who comes up to me and who agrees to give me water and then offers to give water to my camels, let that be the perfect wife, for Isaac. And that happens. It's Rebecca, and she gives him water and then offers to give water to his camel. And then she explains, that she doesn't know who he is yet, but she is the daughter of Abraham's brother. So it is a kinswoman, which is exactly what Abraham wanted. And so, he praises the Lord that he answered her prayer so quickly. And then he goes back to her family with her. She is, very hospitable and invites him. And he explains what has happened, and they agree. Well, they say, well, hey, this isn't, who are we to argue with God? God obviously orchestrated all of this. But first, let us ask, Rebecca. And Rebecca says, I will go. She will go with a servant to go be Isaac's wife. This man she's never seen. And so she goes, she and her nurse go back to Canaan. And it says that Isaac is meditating in the field and he sees the camels coming. And then Rebecca, in the party of camels, of travelers, she says, well, who is this man? And they tell her, that's Isaac. And so she veils herself. And then it says, the chapter ends, that I think it's Genesis 29. Totally, I don't have it in front of me, so sorry if I'm misciting that, but that, you know, Isaac takes her and takes her into his mother's tent, and she becomes his wife, and she comforts him after the loss of his mother, Sarah. And I had never noticed before the parallel between this beautiful scene and then Christ revealing himself to the Samaritan woman at the well as the Messiah. And there's just so many beautiful parallels between that passage in Genesis and the Samaritan woman at the well. This is deeply personal for me because I was actually saved through a sermon when I had started going to church with my now husband. I was very seriously considering Christianity, but it was really a sermon on the woman at the well that just opened my heart to the Lord. As my pastor explained, you know, 13 years ago, that Jesus did not rebuke this woman, and she was completely open with him about, well, you know, I have had whatever it is, 4 husbands, and or she says, you know, I have no husband. And he says, you're right to say you have no husband. And then tells her, you know, he knows that she's had several husbands and she's living with a man who isn't her husband. And what my pastor was saying is when we are just completely open with Christ about our sin, he is not asking us to be perfect. He is asking us to just be open with him about our sin so that he can reveal himself to us as the Messiah, as he did to the Samaritan woman at the well. And one parallel I noticed between that passage and, you know, Rebecca at the well is just like the Samaritan woman. She goes back to her family. You know, the Samaritan woman at the well goes into the village and tells all the men about Christ. And Rebecca goes and says, here's this man who just, you know, prayed. And, you know, he says that, you know, he prayed and I did exactly what he prayed for. And, you know, come, let's, you know, invite this man in. It's just such a beautiful parallel, especially in the fact that, you know, in the Old Testament, Rebecca was a virgin. She was not known by a man. The Samaritan woman at the well is so different. And when you consider that, what it transpires between these two passages, especially the fact we have, you know, Old Covenant, New Covenant, but it's the, you know, sort of the, what is coming out of the Abrahamic Covenant, which we as Christians are grafted into. And, you know, the Samaritans, they were descendants of Abraham. They were Hebrews. They did worship the God of the Bible, but they didn't do it, you know, according to the perfect laws that, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Israelites, were following. And I just think, oh, there's just so much, like, layers and parallels there of, you know, we are taken to Christ as his bride, despite the fact that, like the nation of Israel, constantly compared to a fallen woman, an adulterous woman, a whorish woman. And, you know, the prophecy is given throughout the Old Testament that God will make his salvation available to the Gentiles, to everybody. It's not just his chosen people, that all the nations will have the, you know, be able to be grafted in, which we are ultimately in Christ. We are that Samaritan woman being made perfect, being presented as a perfect bride, like Rebecca, to Christ. And, you know, I think the fact that we can become perfectly washed, clean brides for our Lord because of his sacrifice, his surrender, it's just so beautiful that we have this ideal of womanhood. Rebecca is portrayed so beautifully in this passage. She is kind, inviting, submissive to the servant. You know, we have one of the questions Brittany has in this study is how, you know, how does each passage portray masculinity and femininity? I love, you know, Abraham's servant takes the very active role. He has a very surrendered heart to the Lord, but he's kind of making things happen. Rebecca is responding to this with warmth and, you know, just womanly tenderness by offering him water offering his camels water, inviting him home, saying, you know, come to my home. We have plenty of food. You can stay with us. And then when she is given, you know, her family is very respectful of her. They say, you know, what do you say? Will you go with him? Even when they themselves are like, this is God. We can't, you know, they're totally surrendered and trusting. And she just says very simply, I will go. And it just reminds me so much of, you know, Mary's, let it be done unto me according to your will. And then this image of her veiling herself before being presented to her husband. You know, 1 Corinthians 11 talks about how the veil is, you know, whether it has very symbolic significance in that passage. And it is, of course, addressing a physical veil, which up until very recently in church history, Christian women would veil themselves in the congregation. And personally, I do wear a head covering at church. I am one of the only women that does. So it's not, this isn't like a legalistic thing. you know, I do, I've always felt very convicted that it's also just such a beautiful thing. This isn't a, you have to do thing. It's a, this is an incredibly symbolic, a representative, you know, outward representation of our dignity before God. And, you know, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches do have really powerful explanations as to why women cover that I completely agree with. I won't go into the whole head covering thing. Maybe I can do an episode in a newsletter specifically about head covering. So let me know if you would like me to get into that more. But yeah, ultimately, sisters, let us rest in our status as washed, clean, accepted, loved, perfect, while perfected in Christ, brides for him, just as the whole church. You know, we are kind of a, like a little individual, as individuals, we're a microcosm of what the whole church is as the perfectly washed, clean bride of Christ. So yeah, that said, good time to segue into Dear Help Me. So one second. Sorry, we are doing this like so raw and organic. I had to pull up my questions for Dear Help Meet. And this one is actually an older one. So if you submitted this, I apologize. It took me a couple of weeks to get to it, but it's such a good one. And she says, I've been praying for more discipline and consistency with my routines. No matter what I do, I always seem to drop something. If I have a win in one area, I fail at something else. I could not, this is me, Issa, talking, I could not possibly relate more to this. This is how I felt for so long. You know, motherhood and homeschooling and homemaking and marriage, it can feel like, you know, spinning plates. It's like whack-a-mole where you tackle, you know, like she says, you tackle one task and then you just screw up in another area. And I have heard, you know, I'm not putting very much weight behind this, but I have heard it could be a symptom of ADHD that you get really excited and passionate about one area of your life and kind of let everything drop. And then you get interested in another area of your life and kind of let everything drop. And the reason I say that is not necessarily what she was talking about. But this has happened to me a lot where I get really on it with one thing, like, okay, I'm just going to get homeschool on lock. And while I do that, I do really well at it. We're great with our routines. I've got everything all figured out. And my homemaking is struggling. And my freelancing is struggling. And my marriage, I'm just not putting a lot of attention into my husband. Or I put a lot of attention into my husband and I'm just not that passionate about homemaking. Actually, you know what? I said that and I don't think it's true that I've ever focused, you know, gone through a period of time where I was really intentional about my marriage and had other things suffer. So I think there's a big lesson in that there. When we are investing our energy into our faith and into our relationships, you cannot go wrong. You really, really cannot go wrong. The other things are secondary to serving our Lord and loving our families. And I didn't say serving our families because I think when we think, yes, serve your family. But when we think of serving our families, I think we often think about having a perfectly kept home for them, serving them wonderful, organic, homemade meals all the time. When we get absorbed into the physical provision for our family, it can be really easy to let resentment, stress, distraction creep in, and then that affects our relationship. So you cannot go wrong if you put everything in the back seat and focus on your faith first. And I mean literally first. You've heard it. You have heard it said a million times. Start your day with the Lord. Now, this does not mean get through all of the chapters in your Bible study and write a journal about it and spend 20 minutes praying every morning. Because if you have little kids, if you have livestock, if you live with other human beings, if you have a human body, that is just simply not always going to happen. And particularly with little ones, I imagine this woman that wrote in, she has small children or lots of children or just a busy life. The interruptions are not bad. If we get into any kind of routine where if it gets knocked off kilter, everything falls apart, that in itself is a problem. So I have a lot of practical advice for this because I've dealt with it for years. The first thing is cull all the responsibilities you possibly can. If you are taking up whatever that may be, you know, this is going to be really specific to your life, but if you are, you know, take a real hard look at how you're spending your time and where you can stop spending as much time there. Second, do not overload yourself. Take one thing at a time. I don't know how many times I've been like, I'm going to knock out everything. Like, my plan for addressing overwhelm is to overwhelm myself by telling myself I will just get everything done, when I literally never get everything done. Stop trying to do so much in one day. That is like the most practical thing you can do. Stop trying to do so much in one day. Cancel whatever plans you can. Stop doing so much. If you're a homeschooler, just stop doing so much. If it's not happening, it's not happening. So do the things that you can get done. If those extracurricular, enrichment lessons just never happen, then just stop trying. I know that probably sounds kind of defeatist, but homeschooling can really get us into the mentality of like extreme anxiety if we're not getting all the lessons done. My kids do math and spelling and read with me more often than not. This year they're going into sixth grade, so I'm trying really hard to do our enrichment studies, but we read a lot. We talk a lot. They read a lot on their own. I've given them a lot of ideas. We've done enough lessons that they have a firm foundation in just worldview and faith. So last year I just stopped worrying about what we weren't doing, did what we could, really, really stripped down the amount of schoolwork I was expecting them to do, because my children spend a good hour and a half, 2 hours a day on homestead chores. There are people who pay money to send their kids to schools where they take them outside and have them do real life stuff. So my kids are at home. They just do the real life stuff at home. No private, fancy private school education necessary when you are just simply living it. We don't need to recreate real world tasks when your children are homeschooled, because they're just doing life with you. The same goes for cooking. If you are making everything from scratch, that's awesome. But if it's stressing you the heck out, if it's not necessary, if you're making a lot of things that just aren't necessary for you to make from scratch, or this was always the case for me, if you are constantly putting things on your to-do list to do in the kitchen or to do around the house or whatever it is, again, those things aren't happening, stop trying. Just stop trying. It's okay. It is okay. You're going to feel so much better. You're going to feel so much more peace, mental and spiritual peace, contentment with yourself as a homemaker, if you stop trying to do so much and you do what you can do. And then you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I did almost everything on my to-do list today. That is the best feeling. It is so energizing. Then you have a much more realistic idea of your capacity, and you can start fitting in those things that really need to happen. Ask for help. If you know people who will help you, pride can be a huge impediment to task management, because we don't like to admit that we can't do things. All these things I'm telling you to drop, you might still be hoping that you can squeeze it in because you can't bear the thought that, you know, you're investing so much weight into what it says about your worth, your quality as a mother, wife, homemaker, that you get these things done. That is not the measure of your worth. The measure of your worth is that you are made in the image of God and Christ died to redeem you. That is the only metric we need. All of your failings, all of your imperfections, he bids you to take that to him, not to try to cover it yourself. And yes, we do try to do this with our homemaking. We are not consciously thinking, oh, I need to work harder so I can be saved. We don't consciously think that, but Satan will exploit any area of our life he can to tell us, did God really say that Christ's sacrifice was enough? Or do you need to work harder to feel better about yourself? Because let me tell you, sister, you will never feel better about yourself that way. There will always be something else you're trying to do. You do not need to win in every area. You do not need to win in any area. You know, no success on earth matters if we are not daily resting in the victory of the cross. All right, so finally, a little book chat. I just wanted to share with you guys what I am reading this week. So I feel like so redundant because I read so many books in the same category, but I just want to say, like, I know I've said this before, there's no shame in this. If you, my kids have their dinosaur toy, one second. I don't know if you could all hear that. They totally know I'm recording and they're like playing with it, a Jurassic Park toy that makes dinosaur noises. But again, hey, we're just organic and raw and real here. So anyway, I've talked about this before. If you want to read more, read books you enjoy. Read books you're interested in. Do not slog through books that you find boring. Even if they're, I think this relates a lot to the topic of what we were chatting about with the, you know, question about task management and overwhelm, is we do the same thing with books. Oh, I'm going to read this big important theology book or nonfiction book about a topic that I'm really interested in. Sorry, I just had to tell my kids to be quiet again. They're still making so much noise. Anyway, we put a lot of weight in, you know, how smart we are, how educated we are. Oh my gosh, I need to learn more and try to pack it all in and have this big, you know, to be read list that intimidates us. Don't do that. If it's boring, don't read it. You know, the more you read, the better you'll get at reading. And then down the road, you might be able to tackle those big, important books, or you might be enjoying reading those books, but it's a really heavy topic, so you've got to take it in bits and pieces. That is all completely okay. Read the books you love and enjoy. It will exercise your reading muscle and only make you a stronger reader. So don't feel bad about yourself. If you can't get through a book, just don't worry about it. It's totally okay. So anyway, I've been reading a lot this week or this year about the differences between men and women. I just love this topic. And I'm right in the middle of a book that is really fascinating. It's called His Brain, Her Brain, and it is written from a biblical perspective. The subtitle is How Divinely Designed Difference Can Strengthen Your Marriage. I kind of do wish that they had written this more generally, so it wasn't just about marriage, because it is just so fascinating in general. I mean, I have boys, so I'm thinking so much about the implications of being, you know, the female parent of male children. But it is really fascinating. It's a lot of it is brain science so far, but it's really easy to understand. It's, you know, it's not like overly technical language or anything. But they haven't gotten into the part about, you know, relating to God's design. So I'm really, really interested in that. I may have mentioned this already. Always reading Agatha Christie, and I just love her so much. I feel like she's kind of associated with, obviously, murder mysteries because that was what she did. But her books are just, like, so much deeper than just, like, a guilty pleasure murder mystery. She writes so amazing. She just has so many amazing, really stimulating ideas within the dialogue and the way the conversations the characters have, often about modernity and how the world was changing in post-war England, which is where a lot of her books take place. So I'm reading The Pale Horse right now, which touches on kind of like the occult and supernatural and the overlap of like science and the supernatural. And I don't know how it ends. I don't think it's a blasphemous book or anything, but it is sort of sympathetic from a Christian perspective in a way. We'll see how that goes. But I'm really enjoying it so far. I can see why it's one of her more well-known books. I also really wanted to recommend to you all, I just stumbled across an author called D.E. Stevenson. The book I'm listening to is called The Four Graces, and it's about four sisters who are the daughters of a minister. And it's just really cozy English romance in the country. Just kind of feel good, not in a bad way, in a good way. And it's not cheesy or shallow or anything. It's very light for sure, which is, you know, a nice break from Agatha Christie. I stumbled across it because I was looking up Lark Rise to Candleford, which is a book that my favorite series was based on. There was a BBC series, Lark Rise to Candleford, which is a lovely series. My favorite, like, cozy fall show to watch if I get time to watch a show, which I don't often. But my fall tradition used to be when my husband would go hunting, I would watch Lark Rise to Candleford. And I always think of it in fall. But anyway, so Scribd recommended it to me. This is D.E. Stevenson. When I was looking at Lark Rise to Candleford. So if you want like a cozy, enjoyable, it takes place during World War II. If you're just a big fan of all things having to do with English countryside, you will enjoy it. So I think that's everything for today. I went way longer than I intended to because I like to jab. But if there are topics you'd like me to cover, like I said, maybe head covering, something else, if you have specific questions for me that you would like me to answer in general, go ahead and drop them in the comments. It's just premium subscribers that can comment. So, you know, you can go into our subscriber chat and I will probably put this up for discussions. The subscriber chat is in the Substack app. You can reach out to me on Instagram at A Homemaker's Manifesto. I'd love to hear from you. You know what? I said that. Maybe I'll just open up the comments for all subscribers so I can hear from you. I love to hear from you. No matter your subscription status. if there are specific topics you'd like me to talk about, also, again, please consider an upgrade if you'd like to submit a question to your helpmeet, submit an anonymous question. And finally, I should have mentioned this earlier, we just changed up our women's group, Liberated Surrender. This is a mentorship community for Christian women who are wanting to embrace their femininity, learn what it means to submit to your husband, just want kind of support, feedback, sounding board. Our membership is now just $10 a month. We needed to make some logistical changes to make it more accessible. And it seemed like that was the best point, was to lower the price point. So if you want to go ahead and sign up for that, we have a private chat over there where you can submit questions. I'm going to set up an anonymous question form for that group as well. We're going to have one Zoom meeting a month so we can all kind of get together and chat. And then that's released as a podcast. And Allison, my co-facilitator, and I are also going to be recording podcasts answering your questions about marriage, relationships, submission, femininity, etc. Allison is a wonderful, wonderful resource for what she calls Christ-centered applied polarity. Polarity being, you know, the relationship, the relation of opposites in how we relate to men as women and how embracing the fact that we are women, that we are different from men, can greatly enhance our relationship. It is so solidly biblical. She teaches a lot of great skills for really transforming our thoughts. Like, it kind of expresses itself as like, change the way you talk to your husband, but it really is an outpouring of examining our own hearts and thoughts and feelings and surrendering them to Christ. You know, that has really practical applications in our life. So I love how she teaches that. That is why I wanted to join up with her, to create the kind of community I always wished that I had as a younger wife. So we just made that all available for you guys, and I would love to have you be a part of it. So yeah, it's just $10 a month. I'll put a link in the show notes, or you can go over to liberatedsurrender.substack.com. We also have an Instagram channel, which you can join for free, obviously, Liberated Surrender. It's in the link of my, or it's linked in my bio. So go ahead and check that out. We'd love to have you. I hope you guys have a beautiful week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.